Praise God. Let us pray first. Father, we want to come by the blood of Jesus Christ. We want to ask for your divine intervention. You see the time frame we are living in. You see the word that is necessary to strengthen us, to give us meat to eat, that gives us the ability to resist against darkness and to embrace the light. So Father, we just present ourselves to you today. We are asking for your presence to be in our minds, in our emotions, in our desires, and that our will might be totally and absolutely subjugated to you. Father, we are praying for the change that is necessary that will give us the strength to overcome every darkness. We just want to give you the glory today and every day in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Very, very glad to be with you all here today. We returned on late Wednesday night, and we've had a few days to catch our breath. Hopefully, we're catching it more every day. Praise the Lord. The trip in itself, I don't know if I will spend much time on it, but the trip in itself was a very good time, both in Uganda as well as in Ethiopia. Uganda, of course, was the shorter of the two, although I do believe that there was something in the spirit that broke over that weekend. We had many people coming in from different places, all from Africa, the Congo, Kenya, and of course those coming in from Brother Ronald and Sister Margaret and whatnot. So we had a fairly good size attendance, and there was a good anointing, and it seemed to me that there was a breakthrough in the spirit. Our time in Ethiopia was very, very productive. We could see the Lord's hand in the provision of the hotel we were staying in, the things that had to be done, and the means by which they were accomplished. You could just see the hand of the Lord moving. Also, I'm very much aware that the Lord is laying a good foundation. He is building a platform. Brother Jamal, Brother Fikri are really getting under the burden of the Word, and they are pushing and working toward the development of it. It's very good. It's excellent. But what I want to really kind of talk about this morning is the times that we're living in and the things that are happening. There was a verse that the Lord spoke to me earlier here as we were in the meeting, and it's found in Revelation 13. I am not normally a revelation person. I let other people handle revelations who seemingly are better equipped to do it. But this was the one of the scriptures that the Lord spoke to me. And I, you know, as a Christian and who has a word concerning the end time, concerning the sons of God, there is a lot about the current state of affairs of the world. Not only that, but of my own life, that in some way or another puzzles me, in that it seems that there is no power or authority to check the tide of darkness that is moving across the land. You see it particularly in Africa with the butchering, I can't think of a better word, the butchering of the church, and though they may be Coptic or whatever the case may be, there are many in that arena who have had a genuine experience with God and who have paid the ultimate price of their life for not capitulating that position or that belief. And I can't help but think that those people, the price they paid is something that God honored. Praise the Lord. And as I was looking at the tragedy of the situation here a few months back, and praying about it, as ISIS began to first move into various places in Africa and to begin to do their demonic work, in how they were handling the people, I began to ask God, where is the divine intervention? Where is the strength, the authority of God? And there was a scripture the Lord took me to that in some measure brought some consolation to me and some peace. And it's not found here in this 13th chapter. I'm not quite sure where it is. You could probably find it, but it was where the saints of God that had been martyred, under the altar, were they under the altar?
Yes.
Where, maybe we should read that scripture. Revelations. And
Revelation 6:9.
Yes, it says, and then he had opened the fourth seal. I'm going to start at verse 7. He opened the fourth seal, and I heard a voice of the fourth beast saying, come and see. And behold, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death and Hell, followed with him, and the power is given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw the altar of the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. That, in my understanding, is talking about a person who is bought with the blood, who has the testimony of being saved and holds fast to that position of belief. Hallelujah. And I don't know if there may have been a time in history when it seemed as terrible as what is now transpiring, but for me, I wasn't alive then, so I cannot testify to it. But what I see and what I hear seemingly is becoming far greater and far worse, and the effect of it is not confined to a local area. It is going on. It is going out on a global basis. It's like if you could liken it to a rash that would come on your body and then appear somewhere else on your body and then appear somewhere else on your body. Only this rash is very lethal and very very deadly. So it is not something that is just confined to a local position or a local area, but it is going global, and the seeds of it that are planted, that are yet to be manifested, is something that, in some respects, we are not really cognizant of it. Praise the Lord. And getting back, and he says that when he opened the fifth seal, and I believe the fifth seal deals with the golden altar of incense, that position of offering that is necessary for the remedy to the situation that God has put into His plan. It is at this position, at this place, that remedy will be manifested if you and I, who have a word, have the ability or the courage to do what is necessary in order for that deliverance to be released. Hallelujah. And the deliverance is not really dependent so much upon God as it is upon us.
Amen.
Because it is us to whom God has given the key to deliverance. Now, if you want to go back into the New Testament, there is go back into the Gospels of the New Testament. There is a word that God spoke through Jesus Christ to Peter when he said to Peter, "I am giving you the keys of the kingdom."
Amen.
Hallelujah. And those keys are the means by which the triunity of God in the council of heaven in Genesis chapter 1 had determined at a specific time, at a specific place, that deliverance would be manifested through a people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this promise was reiterated by Jesus Christ when he was talking to his disciples, and he says, "The works that I do, greater works shall ye do." Hallelujah. Now, Jesus Christ was given the job to deliver humanity from sin. Hallelujah. That was his portion. That was his part. He was to deliver man from his sin, from the oppression and the position of captivity that the devil had over him through death. Hallelujah. That was the responsibility that God gave to him. And he made reference to this in John 17 when he says, "The work that you have given me to do, I have finished." Hallelujah. And that means finished. That means I have come to the end of the job, and I am now completing it, and it is finished. It is done. Hallelujah. But the job the responsibility and the accountability, I might say, as to what was to be happening next was something that he was delegating to man. Hallelujah. And that delegation is also found in John chapter 17, where when he prayed to the Father, and he said, "Father, give me the glory that I had with you before the world was." Hallelujah. Now, this is in the same context. This is in the same context as what he is talking about with regards to the job that was given to him. And the interesting part about it is we find that agreement in Genesis chapter 1, and it's maybe somewhere in verse 24, 25, 26, I'm not sure, when God said, "Let us make man in our own image and our own likeness." And what he was saying is that I, God the Father, have a responsibility to do and to perform a certain thing. God the Son has a responsibility to do and to perform and to bring to fulfillment and a manifestation of a certain thing. And God the Holy Spirit, His job is to finish the thing with the element that God created in the beginning to do the job. Hallelujah. And that job was to finish the devil. That job was to finish the darkness and to finish the devil. Hallelujah. So as I was looking at the situation, maybe a year or so ago, when ISIS first began to move, and there was so much killing and blood and the shedding of life indiscriminately, men, women, children, it was something that was really grieving my soul. And I felt the pressure of it, and I was crying out to God, give me something by which I might be able to look at this situation, and in the midst of the hopelessness of it, to have hope.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it was this particular scripture that the Lord spoke to me. So He says, He says that in verse, that was chapter 6, right?
Yeah.
He says, and He opened the fifth seal. Now, the fifth seal is not a God's responsibility. It is a man who is born again, born of the water, born of the Spirit, who has a revelation of the intention of God. That is that man's responsibility. Hallelujah. And the opening of that, but here's a thought for you to chew on. The opening of that seal is not something that is done by virtue of a power of God to open it, but it is by virtue of those who present themselves at that position of offering and offer their soul without reservation. Hallelujah. The seal, what seal would it be? Salvation would have been the, what seal would have salvation be? What seal would have resurrection be? The seal of resurrection was broken by Jesus Christ. Huh? Do you hear me? At the time He presented Himself as an offering. We can start there in the Garden of Gethsemane as he was wrestling with His human will. A human will under the auspices of the authority of divinity. Praise the Lord. Do you understand? I could just as well say, but it would be misunderstood, that position of being born again. When I use that terminology, I'm not talking necessarily about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about you and I. As we accept the blood of Jesus Christ, we are supposedly submitting ourselves to the authority of God's will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have Him wrestling with that human will that has been subjugated, I should say, has been subjugated to the will of the Father. And in it, there is this struggle of Him wanting to move in a certain way, to perform a certain thing, and yet the Father is restraining Him. Hallelujah. And by virtue of His acceptance of the will of the Father, the seal is broken. Because it says, angels were sent to minister to Him. Brethren, those angels were not ministering to His physical body. They weren't patting Him on the back and saying, you know, it's going to be all right. If things are going to work out fine, You're going to be strengthened. You're going to be happy. You're going to be content. They were messengers sent from God. There was yet something in the revelation of what he was to do that had in some manner or some way been yet hidden from him, I believe. And now, as these angels were coming on the eve of his crucifixion, they were coming to give to him the word of God concerning the rest of the story. Hallelujah. And it strengthened him. The strength of the word was determined by the strength of wickedness that was perpetrated against him. Because at any one time he could have repented. He could have recanted. Hello? But he needed another word. And he had to separate himself from his disciples. And he had to go into that position of prayer and travail before the Father. And it says that the travail was so great. So that means the pressure of the thing was so tremendous, pressing on him that he had to fight with all of his might. Hallelujah. And that he sweating drops of blood. Hallelujah. One of the apostles says, "You have not yet resisted unto blood." Oh my God. I look at my own position of resistance. It's not even close to sweat, much less blood. Hallelujah. We are so easily swayed. We're so easily pushed. We're so easily put into a position of doing what it is that we should not do. Whatever it may be, in our minds, in our emotions, in the actuality of our behavior with people around us. So praise the Lord. Let me go back here to this. It says, "And when he opened that fifth seal," hallelujah, there is so much in this word concerning this fifth seal. I'm beginning to understand that as that brazen altar was the demarcation for Jesus Christ, this fifth seal, this altar of golden incense, is in actuality the demarcation for me and my humanity. Hallelujah. 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 And you know, we are finding ourselves in different... I can't get past the fifth seal, so here we go. We are finding ourselves in different types of situation, different pressures that are pushing. We pray, we get no release. We fast, we get no resolution. And the devil is coming and coming and coming and coming and coming in our minds, in our emotions, over and over again. Hallelujah. And it is in some degree a preparatory process that God is allowing us to have, that word that we have heard concerning the promise of sonship is not just a theological conjecture.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it is something that is becoming a reality, and that word is indeed becoming a part of our being.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It says of Jesus Christ that the word was made. It doesn't say the word is. It says the word was made. That means there is a process. There is a process of that word. Having the word isn't sufficient. Having the knowledge of the word isn't sufficient. And doing just works on the thing of the word is not sufficient. That word must become something of a reality in our soul that gives us the strength at the time of the fifth altar.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That word must become something that is such a part of my being that there is no division, there's no separation between that word and what it is I am.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And when Jesus, when Moses asked God, who am, God says, he asked God, who shall I say that I am? Who shall I say who has sent me? And God said, I am that I am. That means that there was no aspect or being that was not absolute and the totality of who and what his character is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And to some degree, I do not want to be irreverent. I do not want to be blasphemous. But to some degree, I have to come to a point that I am a part or a piece of that I am.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I have to demonstrate the reality of that word. And it's not going to be at the moment or at the time that the furnace is heated seven times hotter. There was a process. We are not told the process. We are given looks or glimpses into the environment of those Hebrew boys and of Daniel and the resistance that was against them and the overall administration of hell that was trying to conform them to a particular way of thinking and their position or place of resistance against it.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. It is an incremental building. It's an incremental change. It's not something that happens suddenly. Hallelujah. The suddenly comes at the end of the day when in a moment and a twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. But that change is predated. That change is preluded by the aspects of our environment. Hallelujah. And the fact of the matter is, the revelation that we have as to the sons of God will be of no value to us if in those incremental situations we are not resisting as unto death. Brethren, I am talking about a product that God is looking for that is called a divine representation of Him. Oh, Jesus said in John chapter 17, He says, the glory which thou hast given to me, I am giving it to them.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It was by virtue of a statutory bequeathment that God moved to bring the I am of His divine Trinitarian character to incorporate and make man a part of it. And we are thinking that we are going to come in the last day because of what we know.
No.
It isn't going to happen. It only is going to happen if we become what we are supposed to be in the incremental aspects of the test that God is now putting us into.
Amen.
No, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which we held. You know, I really do not know. My desire is to be one of those who are changed prior to the event of the grave.
Yes.
I want to come into that change, but I have no way of assuring it unless I submit myself to the process.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says that they were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. What is my testimony? Is my testimony one of being bought with the blood? Or my testimony is one of being bought with the water and brought with the Spirit? Or is my testimony of one that is birthed by the Spirit of God and going through the process and receiving a word that brings the reality of God not around me but in me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. What is my testimony? What is my... Oh, I can speak lots of things with my lips. I can read scripture till my eyeballs fall out. I can repeat this and do that and do this, but unless that word becomes a living reality, unless I am willing to be slain.
Amen.
Willing to be slain. And I'm not just talking about physical death. I'm talking about death of my intellect. I'm talking about death of my emotion. I'm talking about the death of my desire. I want to do this, but God wants me to do that. I have to suffer this, and I don't want to suffer that. Hello?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to be a free agent. I cannot be a free agent if I sell myself into servitude to a living God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If I want to be material that is accepted, is accepted. My God. You know, those two boys that approached the altar, they came with a different gospel. They came with a different thought. But if they thought that the gospel they had was something they could manipulate and utilize to their own benefit. Huh?
Right.
And most of Christianity works in that way. We get saved to go to heaven and to miss hell.
Amen.
We think we can manipulate God by getting saved.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We think that we can change God's mind concerning us in the aspect of being saved. Well, I am not saying that God will not accept you on the basis of that salvation. But what I am saying to you is that there is a greater, higher position or place of service that God is offering a certain segment of humanity that has the desire to be in that place.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We must be like James and John.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you know something? Their faiths were different.
That's right.
Their faiths were different.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But out of the two of them, John seemingly had a rapport with God that James must not have had, because he probably was not willing to do what John did. I don't know. But what I know is that the testimony that God had for John is it was the disciple who loved him.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. How would you like Jesus to say that about you? How would you like God to say that about you? Not that he loved himself, but he loved God more than he loved himself.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have this verse here. I'm going to go on. Verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long? You know, this in some degree was my lamentation. Oh God, how long will you not move to succor those who are bought with the blood?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you imagine if you were in that situation?
Yeah.
Huh? Well, it'd be hard for us to even think that we would ever be there, but it's coming.
Yes.
It's coming to us as a people. It's coming to us as a people. Hallelujah. How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge? And brethren, this word is avenge. This is not how long will it be before you will love them into the kingdom. How long will it be before you rise up with your holy arm to scatter the enemy that is slaughtering your people?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And our blood, and avenge our blood on them that dwell upon the earth. It wasn't segregated. You know, they didn't segregate. Dwell not to these here or that here. Brethren, hallelujah. The whole earth, and Christianity in particular, is guilty of the blood of these saints. They stand by and do nothing.
Amen.
They talk, spend their money for wickedness and corruption, and they allow these people to be slaughtered like sheep.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the revenge is not coming just to those who call themselves ISIS. Hello.
Hallelujah.
It comes to us who are living in our sealed houses. Did you hear me? It will be coming to your doorstep, knocking on your door. Hallelujah. Knocking on my door. Hallelujah. Why? Because I have a word, and to whom much is given, much is expected. Hallelujah. That's my rendition, or part of it. To whom much is given. Oh my God, how petty can I be in my position of agitation and irritation or anger or frustration or even in my depression or those things that I enjoy out here in the world because of who and what I am and the country I live in. Hallelujah. I'm guilty, tell you. Guilty, guilty, guilty. I do not want to be guilty.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want the blood of Jesus Christ not to be, have been shed in vain for my redemption.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. I've been privileged to hear a word from God. I have been privileged to look into the innermost chambers of God's divine kingdom and hear the things that pertain to the will of man, the will of God for man. Hallelujah. How much more will I be held accountable if I do not allow that word to work in me, the substance of my redemption? That I have the power to put myself in the place, not that I am beckoned, that I go boldly to the throne. That altar, I go there and I put myself on that altar, not by coercion, not by obligation, but because I love God.
Hallelujah.
And I have a greater reality of Him. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. And white robes. Oh yes. High robes were given unto. That means there was something changed in their nature. Yeah. Paul says there are terrestrial bodies and there are celestial bodies. Hallelujah. White robes, celestial bodies. That means they have been there in a kind of a limbo state between that the position of promise and waiting, as it were, in the wings for the revelation and the endowment of that celestial being. How do you explain it? Oh my God. How do you define it? You can't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says they were given to them white robes. Not clothes, brethren. Not clothes. Revelation 3 says, come, buy of me. He says, because you think you are clothed. Clothed. Because you are clothed.
Thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods.
Yes, I know thy works. Is it because thou sayest thou art, but then thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. I spew that. Because thou sayest, this is what cold is, and not hot. Not hot and not cold. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Oh my God, that brings back the word of condemnation that God spoke of the Pharisaical system. The thought that the man would say, I am not like this other man.
Hallelujah.
Huh? Hallelujah. I am glad that I am not like this utterly dirty, filthy beggar. Huh? When in actuality, I'm worse. I'm worse. I have a word. I have a thought. I have a concept. I have a reality of a living God with a living word. And that word is not doing in me what it needs to be. I'm neither hot nor cold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. He says, come, buy of me. He says, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're talking about the character of man. Do you know that?
Hallelujah.
Huh? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about my humanity. My humanity as I was born so many years ago and a name was given to that hunk of clay. He's talking about that position, not talking about my position of being clothed in royalty, being clothed in the aspect of the radiance of God. It's talking about me as a Christian in my humanness. Hallelujah. It says, I counsel of thee to buy gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. God is opening his storehouse to us in this hour. He's opening it. And the tribulation you find yourself in your mind.
Oh, yes, you are.
In your emotions, in your desire, that tribulation is the offering of God that is saying to you, come buy of me gold.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, hallelujah. Come buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And white raiment. He's talking about character, brethren. Character of righteousness. Not dictatorial position of commanding. It is a position of yielding and submission.
Amen.
Not telling somebody else what they need to do, but you and I doing what is necessary.
Amen.
To bring us into that nature of the servant.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Not once did Jesus Christ ever say, I will do what I want to do. Not once. Not once. Not once in the entirety of his life. How do we know that? Because at the end of the day, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had 30 years of learning how to submit to God. He said, nevertheless.
Amen.
We have no idea of the struggle the man in his humanity was in under the auspices and authority of being alive. A living soul. And yet he chose to submit that living soul and the right of living to God. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thy white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame, the shame. We don't look at ourselves in the mirror and see the shame. But I want to tell you something. In the heavenlies, that shame is exposed.
Yes.
And it grieves the saints of God. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
It is as bad as you and I as parents looking at our children and seeing them misbehaving and bringing shame upon you. Shame upon the aspect of virtue that you have given them and you have taught them. Shame upon you. It is the same, if not more magnified and much more severe. Hallelujah. Because I'm surrounded by a heavenly host of people. And they are looking at me for their perfection. They're not looking at God. The Bible says they're not looking at God. They, without us, cannot be made perfect. Hallelujah. That means if I am not perfect, hallelujah, they're not going to come to that perfection by watching me. And they're watching me, and my not coming is a grief to their soul. And I can hear them lamenting, oh God, move on the behalf of this young man.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The shame of thy nakedness does not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eyes have that thou mayest see. Were they all physically blind? No. They were spiritually blind.
Yeah.
Huh? They're spiritually blind. You come and you sit down at your laptop or your computer and you type it. You have no cognizant knowledge that everything about this device, everything about your desktop is a representation of the thought of God and the creation of man. Huh? You don't have no idea. You don't sit down and think about that. At least I never did. Until I begin to get a revelation, begin to understand a man was telling us this and this and this about this computer and whatnot, and I begin to hear the voice of God talk to me, and I begin to see the hand of God in the aspect of man as he created a computer. Did you know man created a computer?
Right.
Huh? Do you know man created a computer? Hallelujah. It wasn't God that created the computer. It was man that created a computer because of the endowment that God gave the man.
Amen.
To create.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glorious.
Hallelujah. And when a man goes to the moon and he walks on the moon, we think, oh my, what good technology. How did he get there? By what authority did he have that he could move in that dispensation? What authority did he have by which he could perpetrate that thing? How did he do it? Because God gave man a commandment.
Amen.
Told him to take the dominion and to bring into subjection not just the earth, but also the heaven. He says, the work of my hands have I given into the hand of man.
Amen.
And he names the heavens specifically in one of the Psalms. Huh? That's why man was able to go to the moon. That's why man was able to create the main means by which he could get to the moon, because God gave him the authority to do it.
Yeah.
And the ability to create. We're spiritually blind. Spiritually blind. Hallelujah. He says, buy of me that anointment. You know, you look at a situation and a circumstance and you see it in the natural arena. And we get all tied up in the mechanics of it and all of the things that are happening. And we are so easily diverted.
Amen.
And we're so easily subverted. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It should not be so with you and I. We are not those who are ignorant of the devil's devices. We are not those who are ignorant of the power and the authority that God has given us in the aspect of the word that he has brought us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me turn back over here to Revelation 6, was it?
Yeah.
Revelation 6. Verse 11, hallelujah. And white robes were given unto them. Now, brethren, we're talking about white robes again. How about that? We're talking about white robes. Hallelujah. And white, this is the fifth station. This is the fifth position of relationship that we have with God. It says it was given to them. Now, we are talking about resurrection without death in the physical sense. You know, Jesus already was resurrected in his mind.
Hallelujah.
He was already resurrected. He was already resurrected in his mind. He says, no man takes my life from me. He says, I lay it down. Why? So I can pick it up again. It was a settled issue. He was a human being walking on an earth, flesh and blood man, hello? And he had the concept of revelation out of his mind and into his body.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Flesh.
Hallelujah.
Where he became flesh.
It was already a done thing as far as he was concerned. And not to mention, he had already been given the glory, and so he had the pre-knowledge of what it was that God and him had decided, and the Father and him had decided at the beginning of time before the world were. You know you're able to have that pre-knowledge. You know you are able to have that pre-knowledge because it was something that God gave to his disciples to give to you and I through the Word.
Amen.
Says, I not only pray for these alone, but I pray for them who what? Believe on me through your Word.
Amen.
His Word became their Word. Did you hear it? His Word. His Word became their Word.
Yes.
And now that Word was the authority. Hello.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. That Word was their authority. Hello? And that authority was given to us by virtue of what they wrote and what we read and what we became because of what we read.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Given and white robes were given unto them, given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we need, in this time frame that we're living in, we need to hear from God.
Amen.
We need to hear from God. Hallelujah. And brethren, it's not a matter of knocking on that door, but it's a knocker. It's a matter of knocking, 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 knocking. Hallelujah. Until God responds. You knock until God responds. You resist until God moves. You stand until God until God says come. And you do not look at the circumstance. You do not look at the situation. You have to keep your eyes focused upon Him.
Yes,
sure. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, all you have to do is glance away. And the devil is right there. All you have to do is glance away. Because the setup for the glance is made up by the devil. And of course, he's going to be right there to do whatever he needs to do to keep you defocused, if that's a word. Hallelujah. So we are looking at a position. We're looking at a place. And as we are looking at the things in the world out here, we need to be aware of the spiritual reality of it. Oh my God. Hallelujah. One thing that the news does for me, as I read it and I meditate on it, one of the things that it brings to me is that the darkness, the perversion of man is coming closer and closer and closer to my door.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There was another scripture I wanted to read, and it's found in Revelation 13. And it's talking about the beast. First verse says, Revelation 1 says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the names of blasphemy. Hallelujah. So we already know the character of it. It's the spirit of Antichrist. And brethren, the spirit of Antichrist is not out there. The spirit of Antichrist that you and I have to be concerned about is what is in here.
That's right.
Yeah.
What is compatible with us and the world that we live in? Is the doorway by which the spirit of Antichrist outside strengthens the spirit of Antichrist inside of you. And it's not just in bad things. It is in aspect to the word that we have and the desire of that word that is in God to change us. God says you having a form, I could say a word of godliness, but denying the power of that word to change you from humanity to divinity. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, I'm looking. I'm back in the news. And I'm looking at the diabolical mindset of humanity. I can't hardly comprehend. Comprehend the aspect of that thought or thinking that they say gender is not a decision and not
a reality
of how you're born. And they're thinking this.
Yeah.
They're thinking this in the universities.
They're promoting it.
And they're teaching it. And people are believing it.
Amen.
Christians are believing it.
Amen.
Christians are accepting it.
Amen.
Hello? My mind. Oh, my God. How can you? You got baby boy, baby girl.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they're telling me gender is a choice. God, help me. What is the word? Where is it in the Bible that tells me this is the, that describes this mentality? He gave me this verse this morning.
Oh, yeah.
And then chapter 13 of Revelation. Down to verse 3. It says, and I saw one of his head. Now let's read up here. Verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power and his feet and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound had healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power to the beast, which they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? We're talking about a mind mentality. We're talking about a specific thought pattern, a specific thought aspect of man and his intellect. That's what we're talking about.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I mean, you can change the gender of a child, and the only way you can change it is if your mental capacity has been twisted in some manner or fashion that your mind believes that it is a reasonable thing.
Amen.
Huh?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God help us. And they worshiped him. Okay. And were given unto him a mouth speaking great sayings and blasphemy. Hallelujah. You ought to look the word blasphemy up. And power was given to him. Hallelujah. 42 months. And he opened his mouth, he blasphemed against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle. Hallelujah. And them that dwell in heaven. What is the tabernacle of God?
We are.
Huh? Huh? What is? It's my body. Huh? So they are taking the tabernacle of God, and we are seeing the blasphemic aspect of what they are saying concerning man and women as in the aspect of what they can be if whatever it is they think they are. It's a blasphemy. It's a blasphemy. And it's a sign of the times we're living in. When you read the paper about this guy over here did this and this person over here did that and all of the praise that they're getting. Can't you see the praise they're getting from the world?
Hallelujah.
The exaltation that they are putting him into because of this aspect of who and what they are now saying they are and acting as though it were and doing things to their body to prove it.
Yes.
Hello.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's a blasphemy of God. It is a desecration of the temple of God. It's a sign for us to know that we are now living in this time and this dispensation.
Hallelujah.
And we as a people need to get down with business with God.
Oh yes, amen.
Hallelujah. I believe that we have still the time. I really do. I don't know how much more longer we have. But I believe that we have the time to conform to the Word of God. I believe we have the time to come to the position or to the place if we are wanting to come there. If we are wanting to obtain it. I believe we have the time. Our God would not be bringing us the Word.
Amen.
That brings us to a place of being convicted. We have to be convicted over our circumstances, over our behavior, over our thinking of what we allow our minds to wander down the road of whatever path it may be wandering down that brings the degradation and the defilement of our being because it's not righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Not bringing a change to our being. It's substantiating our position of Antichrist. We need to understand the spiritual ramifications of it, brethren. It's time for you and I to get down to the brass tacks of what it is to be a son of God. God bless you. God bless you.
Was the right hand of God, and he reached forth and he grabbed some kind of a handle. He had his right hand on this handle and he pulled the handle, and it was like a switch, but he pulled that handle. And the Lord spoke and he said, a way, a gate, and a door is open unto thee this day.
Praise the Lord.
Enter thou therein. I just feel that the Lord would say to us that it is the time of the entering in. That each one of us must shut ourselves in into that secret place to hide ourselves until this indignation be overpassed. That God would